Ecclesiastes chapter number 7, we're going to look at verse number 1. The Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the day of one's birth. Let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for this opportunity. Lord, as we think about our mothers today, and as we think about, Lord, the gift of life that you've given us, Lord, I pray that you'd help me and help those in this room that we wouldn't take for granted the short time that we have here on earth. And God, I pray that we would leave behind a legacy, leave behind something that people will remember. And Lord, I pray that it wouldn't be a bad memory, but it would be a God-glorifying and a memory of someone of integrity and honesty. And Lord, I pray that you just help us this morning as we look at this. In Jesus' name, amen. Proverbs chapter, or Ecclesiastes, excuse me, chapter 7, verse number 1. The Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment. Now, most of us don't understand that concept, perhaps, of what the Bible says is precious ointment. But in Bible times, in the old time, ointments was many times more valuable than actual money, okay? If you remember, Mary Magdalene came to Jesus, and she had a box of precious ointment, all right? And she broke that and anointed the Lord with that and washed his feet. And we have that, those things where it's like, okay, that must have been very important, okay? And Judas even said something about it where, well, why didn't we go sell it and give it to the poor? And so ointment was a very important thing. But in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 1, the Bible says, a good name is better than precious ointment. You know, every one of us is given a name, all right? My dad's not here right at the moment. I think he had to run home real quick to get my mother's cookies that she forgot for the bus route. Not to embarrass you, but she forgot her cookies. But anyway, but every one of us is given a name, all right? And it's interesting in this area, excuse me, I got like a cough drop. I keep sucking on it, so. In this area, my dad, and if you would know my dad, a lot of people don't know who I am, which is fine. That's probably, they're better off that way. But if you say, I'm Jack Gordon's son, okay, a lot of people, there's an instant recognition of that, especially in the farming community circles. Okay, everyone knows who my dad was. And what is that? That's him leaving behind a good name. All right? And there are times that I benefit from people knowing who my dad was. All right? And many of you could say the same thing about your parents and that type of relationship that you inherit basically because of a name that you have been given, all right? And it is, I think it's up to us as Christians that we do our best not to shame our name. And it's not just our last name. It's also the name of Jesus Christ, okay? Because it is a good, you know, it's a shame for if we're going out visiting, and this is a blessing, and I can say, you know, a lot of the people that have worked in mines and have grown up in this area and have worked in this area, you can mention their name, and people automatically recognize it, and they've got very good things to say about them. I meet guys that have worked over at the power plant, and whenever I meet someone that has worked at a certain place, and I know someone else that goes to our church that has worked there, I always say, oh, I know so-and-so that works there. And it's a blessing in our, I've had people say, yeah, that guy is the greatest Christian, he's the greatest Christian I know. That's a pretty powerful compliment. And you would think, well, it's not a big deal. Well, that is a big deal. Because not only does that represent your last name and your heritage, but it also represents your Christian name, about who you represent ultimately as a Christian. And I think it's important. I think it's important what people think about us. And some people have this thought, well, you know, I'll just, bless God, I'm just going to be an independent fundamental Baptist. And that's good, all right? But I think it's also important how we approach things and our interaction with the world, okay? And I'm going to show you this morning how it's important to have the favor, and that's the word that I think that we're going to use, is favor not only with God. I mean, ultimately, we do what God wants us to do regardless of what the world thinks about us, okay? I'm not a thief. All right, I'm not a liar because not only does it hurt my dad's name, but more importantly, it hurts the name of Christ, okay? So that's the ultimate goal is to honor Christ. But I think having favor with this world, okay, and with mankind is not a bad thing, all right? How many's ever heard of a teacher's pet? Teacher's pet, all right? And nobody likes the teacher's pet at school, okay? It's the one that it just seems like no matter what that child does, you know, it's just like they're always buttering the teacher up, all right? Bringing the teacher the apple every day to school and, you know, just trying to do their very best. Hey, what do you need? What can I help you with? What can I do for you? And, you know, in some ways, especially if you're not the teacher's pet really annoys you because it's like, They're showing favoritism. That's not right, okay? However, on the flip side of that, there is something that this world is I think has polluted our minds as far as the thought that well everyone should just be equal to everyone. I'm just going to stand here this morning and say that is not a biblical philosophy. Everyone is not equal to everyone. Brother Chad, you mean everyone doesn't have equal rights? Well, you know, depends on what your rights, what you consider rights and what you consider privileges. Okay? There's a big difference between rights and privileges. And a young person, I'm just going to use a school illustration, but a young person that does their work and does what they're supposed to do and obeys the teacher and obeys the rules, and the teacher doesn't have to worry about what they're doing or if they're cheating on a test or if they're cheating in their schoolwork or if they're doing their... They don't have to worry about it. Doesn't it make sense that the teacher is automatically going to give them extra privileges because they're doing what's right? Okay? They're not... They should be equal in everything. Well, I think so. So if two kids are doing what's right, I think the teacher ought to treat both kids equally, all right? I do believe in equality, but if one child is not doing what's right and one child is doing what's right, you're not going to treat those two young people equally, all right? And I think we've got this, you know, we're so afraid of this equality thing in the United States of America where we're giving people things that have not earned those things, okay? And we shouldn't be giving people things that do not earn those things, all right? This is me, and you may say, well, Brother Chad, I don't know if that's right, but I've graded very few tests in my life because I'd spend as little time in school as possible, okay? But I have graded tests. And if you have two young people that take the exact same test, now listen to me, and I know that one young person has worked and worked and worked and studied and studied and studied, and they get a 98%, all right? And there is a questionable answer on their test, okay? That would give them, not necessarily even 100%, but it would give them an extra point, all right? Or it's right at that grade scale where it goes from a B plus to an A minus. And I know that student really, really has worked hard and that student does their best, all right? And they're trying to do their absolute best to get all A's. And they're at that B plus to A minus range, right at the line. If they get this, they're going to get an A minus. If they don't, it's a B plus, all right? But they're doing the best they can. And then on the other hand, I've got a student that has done the same test, but the whole page, they haven't worked, they haven't studied, they really could care less about it. And their point is between flunking the test and barely passing the test. I am going to be more inclined to give the young person that has done their best the benefit of the extra point to get an A plus or an A minus than I am to give the one that hasn't even tried the benefit of even passing the test. You know, if they're not trying, they should probably take it over again. If they're not learning it that well, they should probably take it over. Now you say, Brother Chad, listen, because we've been fed this equality thing, okay? And I believe that you can either live in the favor of God or you can live out of the favor of God, all right? If I have a young person in Master's Club that really is trying and really, and they're seeking favor, okay? Well, they're just trying to butter the teacher up. Hey, you know what? Do it. Yeah, you know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to seek favor. I'm trying to seek favor. You're more inclined to give a young person something if they're doing what's right than just because, well, you owe me a piece of candy. I don't owe you nothing. Okay? We have that a lot on our buses. Well, you gave them a piece of candy, yes, because you know what? They're sitting in their seat. They're obeying, they're singing, and so I gave them a piece of candy. Well, I rode the bus, congratulations, but I don't owe you that, okay? Now listen, because this goes against the philosophy of most of the world. Everyone, I saw a sign the other day, this one really killed me. It was a camp of people that were basically homeless, okay? And I understand people go through tough times. Okay, I do understand that. And I believe that we ought to help people when possible. But they had spray painted on this bed sheet, okay? Housing, this is what it said. It said, housing is a human right. Now, if you've listened to the media, you think, well, yeah, everyone deserves to be housed. Okay, let's go back to pioneer days, all right? And somebody says, I deserve a house. All right, I'm sorry, but you know what? They're going to be sleeping out in the woods. Okay, we've morphed into this thing about, well, you deserve this. I'm living and breathing, so I deserve this. You know, our founding fathers gave us unalienable rights, all right, and have instituted those unalienable rights. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. I don't see housing. I don't see Medicare. I don't see those things in what we have, all right? Now, it's kind of the preface of all this because I want to show you in the Bible that you can live in the favor of God. And there has been monumental things that have happened throughout the history of mankind simply because one person sought favor in the eyes of someone, okay? Now, I believe I do certain jobs. I work some on the side. I do certain jobs, and I call them PR jobs, okay? It's a public relations job. Why do you do some of those things? Because I'm seeking favor with certain people, okay? Honestly. Well, Brother Chad, I don't know if that's what you should do. Well, let's go to the Bible and see what the Bible says about seeking favor, all right? Now, you know, we've got this thing in our culture that, and I've had friends that work at the mine. I've got people in our church that work in what I would say is more unionized jobs. And many times favor is shown not based on merit, but based on what can they give me? What can they do for me? And I'm not talking about that, okay? I'm not talking about undeserving merit that's given. I'm just talking about you doing what's right and you earning what's right, okay? So we're going to look at this in Genesis chapter number 39. We're going to go back there. We're going to chase this thought through the Bible. Well, I think we should just live our lives as Christians and, you know, whoever we make mad, we make mad. Well, I think that the Bible teaches that we need to have favor with not only God, but also with man. Genesis chapter 39, we see a man here, and I believe this man is a prime example of this, okay? Genesis chapter number 39, look at verse number let's just look at verse number 1. And the Bible says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had he put into his hand." Now, it's interesting, all right? Joseph, honestly, when he first came to Egypt, he could have had a really rotten attitude because Joseph did not deserve being thrown in that pit. Joseph did not deserve being thrown to the Ishmaelites, all right? But he decided, this is the position I'm in. I'm going to make the best of it, okay? I'm not going to have a bad attitude towards my master, all right? I'm going to serve my master the best of my ability, all right? And we see that. Look down at verse number 6. "And he," this is talking about the master, Potiphar, "left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored." Well favored. Bible says, basically, Potiphar would come to his table. He had no clue what he had except for what showed up on his table for him to eat. That's how much he trusted this foreigner, basically. This guy, this slave that he had purchased, he trusted him enough that he gave everything to him, all right? Anything that Joseph controlled everything. Well, why was that? Because I think he found favor, and wasn't there other people in Potiphar's house that could have taken that job? Yeah, but why did Joseph? Because I believe he was well-favored, okay? Now, someone told a lie about him. The master's wife told a lie about him. And so he got thrown in prison. Well, that's not fair either. That's just not fair. I mean, life's not fair. That's not equality. That's not just, all right? But Joseph didn't complain about it. But so he's in prison. Look down at verse number 21. "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Now, I ultimately understand it was God working through Joseph, but Joseph had to make the decision for himself that, this is what I'm going to do the best I can, whether I'm in Potiphar's house or the prison or the palace, as we see later, okay? And God worked all that. But what did Joseph do? He said, well, my name's important. Nobody may know my name, but a good name, what people know me as is very important, all right? And I think that's important for Christians to be that way also. Go to 1 Samuel chapter number 2. I tell our young people, you know, it is important the way you live your life as a teenager. Because right now, they're setting, let's say they come back to, you know, they leave, they go to college or whatever, and they come back to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. You know what people remember them as until they can prove otherwise what they were like in high school? Okay? If they're a knucklehead all through high school, why should they be any different when they get back? Unless I understand, you can prove yourself otherwise. Okay? But it's important the way these young men and young ladies act when they're in high school and junior high. And elementary, okay? It's important. They ought to seek the favor. 1 Samuel chapter 2, look at verse number 26. This is a child, and I've taught this in Master's Club. In fact, we just got done teaching it in Master's Club. The Bible says, "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. Also with men. He ultimately sought what the Lord wanted him to do. But you know what? The people liked him. Okay? He sought favor with them. I don't have this reference, but the Bible talks about David. When David was serving King Saul before King Saul kind of went haywire and tried to kill him, the Bible talked about David that he went in and out before the people. Went in and out before the people. And I believe, this is my personal opinion, okay? I don't know exactly what that phrase means, but I think there is, you could either go to the palace and go as in a, you know, pomp, because he had a position. He could go in pomp and circumstance and I am, you know, an officer of the king and look down at everyone. But I don't think that's the way David was. I think David went through and shook people's hands. And it's not that he was trying to win loyalty for himself, all right? But he did. He had the heart of the people. Why? Because he was in them. He was helping them. He was among them. And then when David got kicked out, do you remember who came to David in the cave? All the outlaws, all the people that owed money, all the people that were, you know, the renegades of society. And that's who David had to come to him. Why? I think at some point he showed them a helping hand. He sought favor, even among what they would have considered the offcasts of society. All right? But Samuel, as a young man, he sought favor with both the Lord and also with men. Go to Esther. Esther chapter number 2. It's after Nehemiah. Esther chapter number 2. We're going to look at verse number 15. Bible says, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus, unto his house royal, in the 10th month, which is the month Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther above all the women, and she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the virgins, so that he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. Now this is, I think this is an incredible story. And I talked to our young ladies in our teen training hour. All right, it's not just for the young men to do. All right, it's for young ladies also. If you know this story in the context, I do not believe that Esther was the most beautiful young lady there. I really don't. I think she was pretty outwardly, but there was something different that radiated. Okay, because if you'll study this, those young ladies, I mean, they're bringing hundreds of young ladies in to see the king to be the next queen, and they could do anything and dress in any way and have anything that they wanted to basically make the king choose them. And the Bible says Esther didn't have any of it except for what the very basic things that she was given. She denied all of that, all right? But the king still saw her, and the king said, that's the one I want. There's something different about that one, okay? Well, Brother Chad, why is that important? Why is it important that she became the queen? Because you realize that Esther single-handedly basically saved the whole Jewish nation because she found favor in the sight of the king. If you'll read the story later on, when Haman, when she invites the king and Haman to the banquet, she comes in and she says, and what was she doing? This kills me. What was she doing when she had a banquet? Buttering the king up. Why else would she, you know? She was trying to get favor because she told Mordecai, she said, if I go into the king and the king doesn't allow me to come in and see him, basically, they can kill me. All right? So there was a fine line there. So she made this big feast and she said, I want the king and I want Haman, which cracks me up. This is a great story in the Bible. I want the king and I want Haman, the person that's trying to kill her people to come to this banquet. And the king said, what can I do for you? I'll give you almost anything. She said, well, just, if you'll just, and I can just see it. She's real sweet about it. If you'll just come, I want to have another. This has been so much fun. I just want to have another banquet and you guys can all come and make sure Haman comes too. All right. You know, Haman felt like big stuff. All right. And so she brings them all back again. And the king says to her again, now, what can I do for you? And he was even willing to offer her a huge portion of the kingdom. The kingdom. And she said, I just have one request. And I want the life of myself and my people to be saved. And the king was just like, what are you talking about? I mean, this is the girl that has, I hate to say buttered up because that's the, you know, that's kind of, you get a bad mental picture about that. But she's trying to get some favor here because she's getting ready to ask something. And she points to Haman and said, this guy is trying to kill me and all my people. That's all I want is for that to be taken care of. What did she, saved her whole nation because ultimately she found favor in his sight. The king wanted to give her what she desired. Okay? I think it's important. All right? Let's go to Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs chapter number 3. How do we get favor? How can we get favor? And we're going to look at a few past places here in Proverbs. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Doing right. You know, honestly, just doing right brings favor. Just do right, okay? If I've got a young person, okay, that I know steals things, all right, and I give them, I have a choice between sending a young person with a bucket full of candy, you know, hundreds of pieces of candy in this bucket. I'm not going to miss one, in all honesty. And I send them from the school building over here to the church building. And I say, I just need you to go take this and set it in a room. Isn't it sad that there are young people that you can trust and young people that say, I don't know what they're going to do while they're over there. Well, that's not being fair. No, that's being very fair. Because they have earned favor because they've simply lived a life of doing right. Okay, they've lived a life of doing right. And I think that's important. I think it's important to do. But mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. It's what guides us. It's what directs us. Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse number 27. Yeah, this is good. This is exactly what I'm talking about. This is like the Sunday school lesson in a nutshell in one verse. The Bible says, Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27, he that diligently seeketh, what's the next word? Good. Procureth, what's the next word? Favor. All right? But he that seeketh mischief, it shall come unto him. It shall come unto him. He that seeketh good, or he that diligently seeketh good, procureth favor, produces, gains favor because he's seeking good. Proverbs chapter 14, look at verse number 9. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous, those that do right, there is favor. There is favor. Proverbs chapter 22, this is kind of a reiteration of the very first verse that we started with. A good name is rather than precious ointment. This verse, Proverbs chapter 22, verse 1, says, a good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, in loving favor rather than silver and gold. I mentioned earlier I do work for some people, but they're PR jobs. I'll work for some people and I won't take anything. But you know what I do have is a favor. Have you ever had somebody say, "I owe you one"? I owe you a favor. For some people, it's like, "Oh, okay, great." But some people, that's money in the bank. Say, I owe you. If you ever need anything, I'll come help you. That's valuable. Friendship and favor sometimes is more important than money. All right? Daniel chapter number 1. Can't go without talking about Daniel. Daniel chapter number 1. Verse number 8. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. So we see in verse number 8, the, if you would, I don't know how to say this. You see in verse number 8, the conviction, I guess, would be the proper term, of Daniel. I'm not going to do this because of what my belief system, okay? But the only way that he was able to have that honored is in verse number 9. So look at verse number 9. Now, God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. Why was Daniel able to uphold his biblical convictions? Because God had given him favor in the sight of the prince of the eunuchs. Okay? And God had allowed him to do that. So Daniel found favor. And several times in the book of Daniel we see that he found favor. And last but not least, let's go to Luke. Luke chapter number 1. Actually, this is not the last one. I apologize. Luke chapter 1. Look at verse number 30. Luke chapter 1, verse number 30. The Bible says, "And the angel said unto her," now this is talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus. "The angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." One of the things I tell our young ladies, I've told it in Master's Club and I've told it in our youth training hour, do you live your life in such a way that God could look down and say, of all the ladies and all the girls in this world, this one has found favor in my eyes, and I would choose that one to carry my child? That's a pretty high commendation. Pretty high commendation. All right? That's something to strive for. How do you do that? By doing living right, by doing what's right. Luke chapter 2. One more. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. The ultimate goal of the Christian life is to be like Jesus. Luke chapter 2, verse 52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." Let's live our lives not with just, I got to uphold my family's name, but also let's live our lives upholding the name of Christ and live in favor, all right? Live in favor. It's good all the way around, all right? It's good all the way around. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Pray that you help the morning service. Lord, I pray that you'd help me to live in favor. Lord, I want your eyes to look lovingly on the things that I do. I want my words to be something that would honor you and that I could seek favor, the actions of my hands and the places I go to all be things that you would look with favor upon. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to dwell in your favor. We'll give you praise and glory for everything that you do for us and through us. In Jesus' name, amen.